Let me show you how God put all three of them together in one vision for me to get a complete healing for somebody. How he did steps 1, 2, and 3 all in one line of a vision for me. And I'm going to tell you how I positioned myself for it too, so you can do. Would you like to learn how to position yourself to receive more visions? Okay. First, I got up at the crack of dawn. No, I actually did. I'm not saying you have to, but if the Lord calls you to, you might have to. And I began by just praying in tongues. Because what that does is there's ancient gates inside of you that open up when you begin to just pray in the Spirit. Okay? All right? And what it does is it also clears the atmosphere around you. Because there might be a bunch of demonic noise because there's a bunch of demons down here in this realm. So as you just pray in the Spirit, those things began to clear out and open up inside. So I began to just pray in the Spirit. And I was interceding for another person who had a multitude of issues in their soul. So I began to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And then I positioned myself by allowing myself to be taken into like a trance-like state. What do I mean by that? I laid down, I prayed until I felt the breakthrough, until I felt God saying, okay, now you're going to get it. Now you're going to get the visions. Okay, so position yourself for that. So I laid down, and I had my little journal in my hand with my pen, and I just focused. I said, okay, here I am, God. And I'm just going to even like look at the back of my lids, if I have to, my eyelids. And I'm going to focus on receiving a vision from you. I'm going to focus, focus, focus. I'm not just going to lay here and let my mind wonder, I wonder what's going to happen today. And I wonder if I should call my friend and go out and eat lunch. And blah, blah, blah. I didn't do that. I stayed focused to receive a vision. I kept my mind going, okay, I'm here and I'm ready to receive your vision. You're going to lead me through the three steps to getting this person's soul healed. I'm waiting, I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. And pretty soon I kind of went into this trance. And you know what? And trances are biblical. I'm not being New Age-ish. Abraham went into a trance when he got the covenant cut with him for God. Wow. Big covenant. Jesus Christ came out of it. Okay? Peter went into a trance when he got the vision about the clean and unclean animals. Okay? So here it was. I let myself go into that deep place, right? And I started to get the visions because I put my faith on getting them. All right? And what happened first was all of a sudden I saw myself in a maze and I came right up against a wall. Oh! So I knew right then I had to get through this maze to actually get to the place where this particular soul one was. I didn't even know which one I was going to work on. I was just telling God, you take me to the one you want me to work on first. And so I was like, here was that maze. Whoa, okay. And I'm like, and I'm in a maze. And I go, what do I do now, Lord? And I heard in my mind, turn right. So I just started saying, I'm turning right. And then I interacted with the vision. I said, I'm turning right, and now I'm going through the maze, going through the maze. Holy Spirit's leading me through the maze. The Lord, I came out of that trance, right? As soon as I saw the vision, I woke myself, and I'm like, okay, so I'm interacting now with what I saw, going through the maze. I'm keeping focus, like the woman that kept saying to herself, going through the maze, Holy Spirit's going to lead me through the maze. I'm going to get to the soul wound, get to the place I need to be going to. God is laying out the specific path for me. I'm just believing. I'm just going, 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 and then I kind of dropped off again. Pretty soon, bam, I get a new vision, right? The blackness of the screen, the vision comes, and I'm out of the maze. See, I put my faith on getting out of the maze, and I did. I got there. Do you understand? Listen to me. These things are actually happening in the Spirit. It's not pictures I'm making up. These things are happening in the Spirit. God is showing me what's going on. I interact with it. I put my faith on it. It takes me, because I interact and put my faith, it takes me to the next step. And then the next step, and then the next step. Do you understand? Okay, so then bang, because I put my faith on it and I interacted, I'm out of the maze. And all of a sudden I see the vision, and in my mind I'm going, oh, okay, I'm out of the maze. And I look up and I'm like in this forest, and you know how the forest looks with the trees? Kind of like the light will break through here and there. And I'm like, okay, I'm out of that dark maze and I'm kind of like in some light now, so I'm making some progress, right? So I'm like, all I did to interact with that part of the vision, because now my vision had gone dim, I just go, okay, I'm out of the maze, yes. And there's some light peeking through the trees, and so I know that I'm on my way, and by faith, I'm pressing to the next step. Next step, the light is shining through the trees. Light is shining through the trees, and I'm interacting like that, and then pretty soon, I kind of like go off again. And then, bam, here comes the next vision, and what do I see myself doing? I'm picking up a bunch of worms. It was classic step number one. I had made it to my first step, right? I had gotten through the maze, so now I'm at the sin that created the wound. Classic step number one, biblical symbol of the worms. And I'm picking up these worms. So what do? I now interact with what I saw in that part of the vision by going, okay, there's worms. They symbolize a sin. I put the blood for this person. I repent for them. I forgive anyone that hurt them. I apply the cross to those worms right now. How many of you know that Jesus said in John 21, whosoever sins you forgive, they will be forgiven. We can intercede for other people. Amen. I was doing what Jesus said I could do. And so I'm interceding for this guy, and I'm putting the blood of Jesus on these worms, and I'm picking them up, and I'm like, I'm interacting with that part of the vision. My vision has gone dark again, though, but I'm interacting with it. Okay, put me in the blood, forgiveness, repentance, and I start going into the trance again. I'm not saying you have to trance out, but for me, it's like, whoa, I get some really powerful stuff when I do. Bam, here comes another vision, and I see this person, and he's opening his mouth, and there's a big worm on his tongue, and he goes, and he spits it out. Okay, get this, what happened? This person grumbles and complains a lot. Every day, always grumbling, complaining, and this and that's happening. And how many of you know grumbling, complaining makes a big sin, and it makes a big wound on your soul? It's one of the biggest ways to make a wound on your soul. It's constantly, chronically grumbling and complaining. What had happened? I had interceded by repenting for that, the sins of this guy, and my interceding for his sins actually caused him to stop speaking all that grumbling out of his mouth. He spit that sin, that worm, out of his mouth. Wow. Wait till I tell you what happened later. And I'm like, yes, super, super cool. So I just keep on going. Last thing I know to do is just put the blood. So I just keep on going, okay, more blood. And the vision had gone dark now, but I'm still interacting with it. Okay, more blood, just in case we miss anything. I'm just still putting the blood. I'm on step number one. I'm repenting and forgiving everything. Okay. Panning, forgetting. It's 6:30 in the morning. Okay, I kind of go into the trance again. And then, bam, my vision comes up again. It had gone dark and it comes up again. This time I'm flying through the sky and I'm flying right past the Washington Monument. What's a tomb? A monument set up to cause a perpetual remembrance. I was flying past the soul wound. I'm at step number two. Classic step number two. Are y'all happy? Come on. See how this is leading me exactly where I need to go? I'm at classic step number two, and I gotta add this in because it's super cool. Okay, I looked up what the Washington Monument is, and it's actually an Egyptian-style obelisk. Egyptian-style obelisks were tall and narrow, and they had these pyramids at the top. Well, you know what Egyptians used those particular obelisks to do? They would put them in pairs to guard the entrances of their temples. My friend had a couple soul wounds guarding the entrance to his temple, eh? So no light can get in. How do I know no light can get in? Do you know what those Egyptian-style obelisks represent? The sun god, Ra. Counterfeit light. Come on, tell me y'all get this. So I'm on step number two. I'm flying past this monument. What do you do to interact with that part of the vision? You put the glory light of Jesus. Amen. That's how you interact with that vision. So the vision went dark again. I'm up again, and I'm like, okay, there it is. We're on step number two. There's the tomb. There's the monument. Put the glory light. Glory light on that. Glory light on it. Glory light on that to heal that wound right now in Jesus. It's going to destroy that monument in the glory light. Glory light. I'm interacting with this part of the vision. I'm decreeing. I'm getting that wound healed. I'm getting it healed. Okay. And then I kind of dropped off into the trance again. Next thing I know, I see the monument again, and this big green thing of light goes shwah, and it totally wipes out the monument. Got the healing, amen. Got the healing, amen. Okay, this is probably taking 15 minutes at this point. Wow. Not even for my own self, for somebody else. Wow. Okay, and then here it comes. And then, okay, so then I'm like, okay, all right, I'll just keep on doing the last thing I was doing. I'll put the light on until God shows me something else. So I'm like, okay, great. Actually, I'm like praising, putting the light on. I'm like, okay, great, we got that monument. And I'll put more light in case there's anything else. More glory light in case there's anything else. And glory light. I go back into the trance. Okay, my vision had gone dark. Then, bam, here comes another vision, right? And I see a red chair. What is red? It's raining. Oh, gosh, it's raining like big time. Whoa. Okay, what does red mean? It can mean war, right? What does a chair mean? We are seated in heavenly realms with Christ. And the enemies, the demonic powers in the second heaven, are under our feet because we're seated in heavenly realms with Christ, right? So I knew now I was on step three, classic step three. I'm about to do the deliverance now. Amen? So I just thought, oh, it's a seat of war to make war from the heavens against the enemy in the name of Jesus. They'll be under my feet. So I began to just interact with that part of the vision like this. Go, okay, in the name of Jesus now, I command every demonic power to come off. You have to go now because that wound was totally healed. That monument has been destroyed in the glory light of Jesus. You have no choice but to go in Jesus' name. I command you, and I start going into trance again. Next thing, bam, here comes the vision, and I'm looking up, I'm shooting straight up into the second heavens. I can see like a rocket, and I can see the clouds coming at me so fast, and I'm shooting up into the second heavens in the spirit realm. I'm shooting up into it, I break through the second heavens, and there's this huge explosion, and all of a sudden, I'm flying in the sky, but I'm back looking at all the devastation, and there's all these dead bodies of these demonic powers falling out of the sky to the earth. And then the last vision, I saw this person who I was praying for, and suddenly I'm looking up at them, and they're 8 feet tall, and they're all like this. Okay, I had a chance to spend the whole day with that person that day. It just so happened, and it was so amazing because God totally arranged this sovereignly. I know He did. There was like 4 or 5 situations, because I know this person really well, that usually would send this person completely off the edge. I mean, this person would just lose their mind, right? And these situations arose, and I saw, it wasn't even the same person. I saw this person, and this situation that would normally send him off the planet came up, and he was just like, oh, no, that's, you know, hey, well, let's just do this and that about it. What do you think about that? And I'm like, hey, that's a great idea. And they're like, okay, great. And I'm like, totally, completely changed all day long. And since that day, I have not seen the return of those snapping, complaining, grumbling. This person was every day, sin with a mouth, let me complain and grumble. And it has completely changed, completely changed, completely changed. And then the day following, after the first day of miracles, this person calls me and says, you're not going to believe this. I just got a phone call and I had a major, major financial miracle in my life. Do you think they were in any ways connected? You see, that stuff really was happening. I wasn't just having a dream or a vision. Because I chose to interact with it. It led me right through steps 1, 2, 3, and everything got healed. Listen, I'm going to tell you the last secret that you can do that will help you unwind your dreams and visions. Okay, you need to do 2 things. You need to write them down, and you need to meditate on them and revolve your mind around them. Okay, because as you do, you're going to get revelation. Habakkuk 2 commands us to write down the vision so it can be read easily by anyone who passes by. Something happens when you say, gee, I care enough about what God said to write it down. And it causes you to quote, be able to quote, read it easily and quickly. That's what Habakkuk says will happen when you write it down. That whoever passes by will be able to read it easily and quickly. When you want to unwind a complex dream and you start writing it down, it'll happen. Also, when you start to revolve it around in your mind and meditate on it while you're writing it down, it will happen too. You won't have any understanding until you start that process. And that's what happened with Peter. Remember, he had that vision of the sheet being come down with the clean and unclean animals on it. And God said, rise up, Peter, kill and eat. He said, no, I won't. God, I have never eaten anything unclean. He says, do not declare anything unclean that I have made clean. What God was showing Peter at the time was that he was going to bring in the considered unclean Gentiles into the clean family of Jews. Amen. Okay, but Peter, when he first got that vision, he didn't have a clue what it meant. What are you telling? Tell me, God, you really want me to go out and eat snakes and stuff like that? Oh my gosh. How did Peter actually figure it out? Because the scripture in Acts 10 says that when Peter first received that vision, he was inwardly perplexed and doubted as to what it could mean. But here's the answer. In verse 19, it says, "And while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it, the Holy Spirit said to him what the vision was about." While he was earnestly meditating on it and revolving it around in his mind. Listen, I can tell you that this happens and it works for me every time. If I have a complex dream, I don't know what it is, or a vision, as I'm writing it out, as I'm revolving it around in my mind, that the Holy Spirit gives me revelation. Listen to what I do. I take my journal out and I begin to write it down. And as I do it, I monitor two things. I monitor my mind to see if the Holy Spirit might pop a word or a scripture or a phrase into my mind. And I also monitor what's happening in my spirit in case the Holy Spirit pops a knowing into my spirit, man. Okay? So let me just give you an example really fast. I had a dream. I'm walking along quite a long distance. I look down and I see my right foot is gushing with blood. I sit down, I wash up the blood, and I see I have a big, huge, gaping hole in the bottom of my foot. When I woke up, can you imagine? I was a little alarmed. And I'm thinking, what does that mean, Lord? What's wrong? Something's wrong. You have to tell me. So I didn't want to sit there and worry and wonder about it all day. So I thought, well, gee, I'll position myself to get the answer. I'll sit down because I know it's as I'm doing what Habakkuk says and writing it down, and as I'm meditating on it, that I'll receive a revelation. So I started to write, and as I did, I monitored my mind and down here, okay? All right, and what happened was this. I began to write it down, and I was going, okay, I'm going on a long walk. All of a sudden, I see my foot bleeding, and I said, and there was a big hole, and as I wrote that down, in my mind, Lord popped a word in my mind. He said, gash, and I stop, and I actually write that down. Okay, I just heard in my mind the word gash. I'm going to look it up. So I go to my source, the dictionary online. I looked it up, and you know what the word gash means? A deep wound. It does. And I go, then I write that down. Oh, wow. The word gash means a deep wound. And it was in the bottom of my foot. And as soon as I wrote, it was in the bottom of my foot, in my spirit, or in my mind, I heard, the bottom of your foot is the sole of your foot. The sole of your foot. And I went, whoa, I just heard the bottom of my foot is the sole of my foot. And then in my spirit, boom, it pops up. You have a hole in your soul. See that? How it unwound as I was writing it down, as I was meditating on it. Do you get it? Do that too. Amen. Okay, look, here's some other symbols for you. Okay, boxes. A girl came in and she said, I'm having dreams about boxes. And all kinds of boxes, and there's a little box with my name on it. I said, I believe it's a soul wound. So during the break, we looked up the word box. You know what it means? A container that holds stuff. Sounds like a soul wound to me, right? It can mean to be boxed into a difficult situation. Sounds like a soul wound to me. And you know what else box is used to describe? It's the word to describe a coffin. A box. Amazing what you'll find out when you look up in the dictionary, eh? Boxes, they have junk in them. They can be soul wounds. Movie screens, TV screens. If you see movie screens and TVs in your dreams, it can mean what? The movie of your life is playing back in your soul. Get it? All the troubles and things that happen to you are playing back in your soul. Floppy disks, jump drives, records, things like that. Why? What do floppy disks hold? What do filing cabinets hold? Records. Historical records that go back in the past. God's showing you, you got a filing cabinet full of junk, full of soul wounds. Amen? You get that? Old cars, new cars, find out. Are you driving an old car? Then it's probably a soul wound. Okay, is it all beat up? What color is it? If it's red, then you're making war on that wound. If it's white, it's going to get healed in the light. I mean, you can tell a bunch of stuff from that. Monuments, pillars, obelisks, tombs, all those things, corpses, they all signalize soul wounds, right? What else? Oh, there's more.